Today you've joined hundreds of established and emerging writers who are discovering ways to reach their writing goals and have fun by being more curious, creative, and productive. You're listening to Ann Croker, Writing Coach. This is episode 139, Tips on Self-Editing from The Artful Edit. Recently, I plucked from the shelf The Artful Edit on the Practice of Editing Yourself by Susan Bell. Already, I can tell that Susan Bell's approach to editing has less to do with comma spotting and more to do with staying attentive and open to more important matters. Ponder the piece to comprehend its meaning and purpose. Listen to determine the pace and sound of the writing itself. Editing anyone's writing in this way calls for objectivity while shepherding both the author and his words. Actually, it requires the same thing when self-editing: objectivity. Bell says this: we are loath to put an objective ear to our subjective selves, but to edit is to listen above all. To hear past the emotional filters that distort the sound of our all-too-human words, and to then make choices rather than judgments. As we read our writing, how can we learn to hear ourselves better? We gain time and objectivity to shepherd our own words by listening. But how can we hear past the emotional filters, she mentions? How can we learn to hear ourselves better? Thankfully, Bell offers some suggestions. Overall, we need to create distance. To hear with greater objectivity, try to create some distance from your draft. Figure out how to make it sound less familiar. Here are some of Bell's recommendations. Leave your work in progress at the desk. Don't sneak pages into a bag or peek at it on your phone. At the end of a writing session, walk away and don't look at it until you return for your next writing session. Resist continual rereading and revising. Many writers obsessively pore over their previous work as they write, instead of pushing past the existing words with a promise to deal with edits later. Resist rereading the previous session's output and you'll force the story to progress. If you ignore the words on the screen or printouts, you can simply write whatever's next. Write longhand. When you forego the screen and write by hand, you can't so easily go back and delete, insert, or move sections around. Instead, you just keep the pen moving to get the whole thing out, start to finish. It creates distance and helps us pour it all out at once without fussing over each little segment. Set it aside. Create emotional distance from the work by building in a substantial break from the time you finish the draft and the time you return to begin editing. Change the font or size or both. It's such a simple trick and so easy to do with our current technology. Get a fresh look at your words by simply changing the font from, say, Times New Roman to Georgia or from Arial to Garamond, and then pump it up from 12 point to 14. Changing the way it looks changes the way you see the words you so faithfully churned out the first time. Chances are you'll notice typos, missing words, repetition, and unneeded punctuation that you overlooked before. Send it. Yeah, go ahead and publish that thing somewhere on a blog or social media, or send it to a beta reader and ask for input. That's when it gets real. Knowing we have a reader on the other end forces us to run our words through a different filter, think differently about it, and get it ready for prime time. Read aloud. By far the best way to learn to listen and hear ourselves better is to actually hear ourselves. Read your work aloud. I know you will be loath to do this, to borrow a phrase from Bell. No one seems to like the sound of his own voice, but try it. Read it aloud. Read it to a friend. Read it to your dog. Read it in public. Record yourself and play it back. If you need some distance from your own voice, have someone else read it aloud to you. Or if you want to go high tech, most computers have some way of reading text to you. In the book, Susan Bell quotes Samuel Butler, who is reflecting on Molière, reading aloud his plays to his housemaid. If Molière ever did read to her, it was because the mere act of reading aloud put his work before him in a new light, and, by constraining his attention to every line, made him judge it more rigorously. I always intend to read, and generally do read, what I write aloud to someone. Almost anyone will do, but he should not be so clever that I am afraid of him. I feel weak places at once when I read aloud, where I thought, as long as I read to myself only, that the passage was all right. When we read aloud to anyone at all, we're constraining our attention to every line, which Butler contends makes us judge it more rigorously. Read it aloud, and we hear ourselves more objectively. This helps us edit with greater confidence. Bell goes on to note that we could stage a public reading to force us to realize we have an audience, but we don't need to. Instead, she agrees with Butler that it is not the audience's critique, but the author's revitalized attention to his words through uttering them and hearing them uttered that brings clarity. And therefore, simply hearing our voice should do the trick. When you get that draft done and you've built in some distance, return to it, ready to revisit and revise your work. In that stage, the self-editing stage, it's time to lean in and listen close. One of the best ways to get past those emotional filters and hear ourselves better is to read it aloud. When we take listening literally, we're more likely to make good editorial choices and shepherd our words well. I'm Ann Croker, cheering you on as a writing coach in your ear. Everywhere we may meet, at my website, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, in your inbox, here on this podcast, or even in person, I'm always looking for ideas to share with you that will help you achieve your writing goals and have fun by being more curious, creative, and productive. Thank you for listening.